We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Everybody, as we continue on, Dave Hyden with us this morning from the Sun Sentinel. Nice to have you, Dave.
Good to wake up beside you, Joe.
Yeah, we got Hollywood and Zach enjoying their day with Yom Kippur and their families, which is good. And
Day of Atonement. What are they atoning for? That's the big question.
I don't know, man. I know what my list would look like.
A long list.
One day wouldn't do it. Somebody asked me that last night. I go, man, well, I don't know if one day would do it, man. I always ask for some do-overs. If I could get some do-overs, apparently you can't get those anymore. Those do-overs.
Don't you get to start all over again?
No,
that's what I thought the Day of Atonement.
I'd like to get, I guess that confession for Catholics, but I tried a couple of confessions and I didn't feel like as I came out talking to the priest that it worked. So I
you just can say
those.
Three Hail Marys and you're all good to go?
A couple of Our Fathers, Hail Marys. They were throwing in extra stuff for me, and I was like, oh, I haven't heard. I'll go look that one up, though, and read it. Listen, we got all kinds of stuff to get to here this morning. Got a big doubleheader going at Hard Rock Stadium. FIU and University of Miami, 3:30 on Saturday. The Dolphins, Sunday at Hard Rock with the Raiders coming in town. And Raiders have not won a game. Amari Cooper coming back home from Northwestern High School. That's going to be a fun matchup, by the way. Amari Cooper against Xavier Howard. That's going to be fun. See that one, if they do it. Now, listen, they might try to do some things and put him inside and everything. But I'm really curious to see if Xavier Howard moves around.
He hasn't yet this year, has he?
No.
He's been on one side of the field.
We haven't actually seen that since he had Brandon Cooks, right? Place with New England. It was great because he had two interceptions, batted a couple of balls down, and the X-Man's playing out of this world. Didn't have a ball thrown at him the first week, and last week runs a quick post pattern in the back of the end zone, runs it ahead of the receiver, and just makes a great interception.
On the play after, the Dolphins had just turned the ball over. So that was a game-changing thing. I'm curious. John Gruden comes in. Now I'm fascinated by the moves he's making. Is he going to, you know, what he's doing there?
Well, the Dolphins had a chance to beat the Raiders last year, right? I know it's completely different, like you said, as a new coaching staff and probably a lot of new players. But a lot of the old faces are still the same. Jared Cook, they got to cover him. He's off to a great start at tight end. Probably been their best player if you look overall what he's been able to do with 13 catches and 229 yards. So averaging, you get a tight end that's averaging over 17 yards a catch. You better key in on this guy and not allow him to have this huge game. And so, yeah, it's going to be a fun one. See if Dolphins can make it 3-0 with this Raiders group looking for their first win. And I'm glad, and I hope we get one of those. If the rain can either come early or wait until after the game.
So you don't want that two-hour break?
Well, I just know it's cool out in the Bay Area. I didn't even look at the temperature, and I figured it's probably in the 60s. There's no humidity out there, and you're coming out here, and it has been. Warm.
You buy into that 1 o'clock because I do. Fourth quarter, you see teams wilt.
You know, who sold me on it. Don Shula sold me on loving 1 o'clock games at the Orange Bowl, and he even gets it like all the guys to believe that when you go out there and it's super hot, and even if they jump out on you early, you just see them. Anything that gets a long drive or you can't get a stop and you're out there a lot of plays, you see both all the big fellas die and you see the small, fast guys cramp up. So the big guys puke and like just get gassed. Smaller guys cramp up. The fast guys cramp up if they're not. Now, I know they're doing a much better job of hydrating than they did years and years ago, but I just think it's a big advantage for the Dolphins.
Yes, it should be. It definitely should be. And like you said, Oakland flying across the country after being in, what, 60 to 70 degree weather out in the Bay Area, it, completely different. And so this should be a big advantage. Dolphins, when you set it up 3-0, couldn't have started. If they can get there, wouldn't have. That was the recipe to have a good season. Yeah. I thought this was a favorable stretch for them.
Listen, if you can win this one, and you don't want to look ahead, and I'm the only one bringing it up. Nobody else should bring this up. But they go 3-0, and you got New England up there next week, and this would be the time that I want to play them. And I know they're going to have a new wide receiver that's expected maybe to even play this week. Josh Gordon, but definitely will play next week.
But they won't have Julian Edelman yet.
Nope. Edelman will be out four-game suspension, so his last game will be against the Dolphins that he doesn't play, and he's been talking about really good timing with Tom Brady. So, yeah, I'm just curious. See, warm weather, be nice up there, maybe cool off a little bit, but you're not going to get that cold stuff.
And you know Belichick will figure out the defense as the year goes on, but their defense right now – it's Jacksonville showed it can be exposed. So I agree with you. It's a good time. If they go, the Dolphins are 3-0 going up there. That will be one of those rare big September games.
I had a lot of people want to know, hey, what's your take on the Dolphins? And I said, listen, they're not perfect, but 2-0, they're not apologized. Hard to win, man. 2-0, they're going to take it. And, feel good about it. It's been first game was crazy with 7 hour and with the lightning delays and everything else. But, man, I'll tell you what I look at, and I always do this, and the older I get, the more I do it. I look at how many guys are playing well, Dave, and how many guys have made big plays. My concern was, do we have guys that can make big plays? We got playmakers? And then I go, ooh. I look at Albert Wilson, crossing route, takes it to the house. I look at Xavien Howard, Bobby McCain's play, his hustle play from the outside to come in and tackle Chris Herndon as he was lunging in before the half and knocking back. And then I saw it the other day. I was at training camp on Monday, and they showed me the play. It was just pure hustle. Just pure. Don't take it for granted that Rashad or TJ will make the tackle. Let me come up and help just in case. And sure enough, he's got to make that play. And it's probably one of the best hustle plays I've ever seen from a guy. It's equivalent to a guy, a defensive end takes off on a screen the other way and runs down 40 yards and makes the tackle, right? I think Jason Taylor did a few of those where he just, from the backside, he didn't stop. Something made the guy keep running, and sure enough, a couple guys miss a tackle.
So that was a crushing play for the Jets to come out of that.
Shut
out.
They don't get three
points.
No. Big difference in the game, the score in their first drive in the second half. So, just all the different guys that are playing well in groups. The Dolphins dominated the line of scrimmage.
That to me was surprising. Walking away from these first two games, thinking the Dolphins have played more physical than the other teams. That and the team speed are the two things that surprised me the most this year.
Dave Frank Gore, great day for him. I he moves into fourth all time. With some unbelievable company now, fourth, right? I mean, you look at
Emmitt Smith's the next one above him.
Walter, right? Payton. I think Emmitt's
or
one.
Or Emmitt's one. Emmitt's one.
Walter and then Barry, I think, is the order, if I'm not mistaken. And then I mean, it's crazy. So you say their first name, and the fourth name you say is Frank. It's just, right?
Yeah, and it's always weird to come up to inherit someone like Ichiro. Okay, now Frank's a little different. He grew up here. He went to UM, so everybody's known him.
Went to high school, yeah.
He went to Coral Gables and grew up in the West Grove, and everybody knows who's been around, knows his story. And so for him to come back, it's kind of fun. And you've watched it from afar, and I always wondered, 35-year-old back, what can he do? And yet you've seen in September, he's making big plays.
I hate to say any one play was – he made one of the three or four best plays of the game. It just happened to be one of the last ones. That third and 19, makes a catch right off the ground. I mean, just inches off the ground, catches it, stays on his feet, and runs 20 yards or 19 and a half yards for a first down, and keeps that drive going, moves up. So he got that, got enough yards to do that. Just a special day for Frank Gore. Of course, I go and I bring this up, and Dave, you've been down here a long time. I say he's the best high school running back I've seen down here. Why open a can of worms?
There you go.
Okay. I knew better than to do it, and I don't know why. It was just going out on Friday nights and getting a chance to see them all play. Every one of them, except if they go back in the 70s or even early 80s, I wasn't going to high school games. But he's the best that I've seen. Of course, we've had a bunch down here.
I was going to say,
when you do that.
You were getting calls and texts from coaches, right?
Just guys wanting to debate, no, you're wrong. And then I go, you know, like I'm going to stick to it because I've seen most of them. Dillard's had some great running backs. Ely High School's got a guy that set all the records. And there's been a bunch down in all over. I mean, we're loaded down. We got four or five running backs right now in the NFL, right? We got two from Central High School.
When you say the best running back, you know what? I didn't even see Gore play you went and watched him play in high school?
Well, because I've done those Friday night high school football games forever. So, you know, and I've just seen some real special games.
To me, the amazing thing about Frank Gore is the injuries.
Early and then done.
Before going into the pros, his knee was blown out. And I remember we all wrote and talked about what a sad story that was. He's leaving you his last game at UM, and, you know, he's getting hurt.
He's going to be a Hall of Famer now. He is going to be a Hall of Fame running back, which moves him up the ladder when you look at – because nobody used to ever talk about Frank Gore. Like 7 or 8 years, and you talked about all the great players coming out of the U. Frank never got mentioned. Now, oh, no, put Frank at the top of that list, Joe.
Longevity for a running back especially is a Hall of Fame maker in this situation.
He didn't do the 1,500 to 1,800 yards a year like some of the great ones did, but he blew past all those guys that had those big years. The Eric Dickerson year and the O.J. Simpson year. Those guys went for 2,000. Adrian Peterson, he blew past all those guys, man. Anyway, hey, we got to go to break because we got to keep our longevity going here too, man. We got a lot of stuff. Dave and I need paychecks for a while. We're going to keep rolling here on the show. We'll take a break. A lot more stuff to get to. Houston Nutt, CBS Sports College football analyst, former head coach in Division I football, going to join us. We'll talk to him about all the news in college football and getting set for the schedule this weekend.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
I think in the heat of the battle and you're losing the football game, it's just tough on anybody. Just another reason why I don't do social media, right? You guys can get under your skin and find a way to do it, and it's easy for him to do it. But I don't think he wants traded. I'll speak to him tomorrow, and maybe I'll have a different answer for you after that. But I don't think that. I think it's just a competitor in him. Yeah.
Well, Pittsburgh, man. As the world returns up in Pittsburgh, I never thought when this Le'Veon Bell, I was so wrong on so many different ways. Le'Veon Bell, Dave, is still not in camp. I thought for sure there's nobody going to turn down $852,000 per week. I still buy this, and I know a lot of people disagree that he's doing the right thing. And long term, he's got to take care of his body for the next big contract. That $852,000 per game is a lot of money not to play, and you don't get it back. And so he's getting ready for another week. 1.7. He's going to go about $2.5 million now after three games.
I thought he would. He's got to get in there, or he loses his year of service.
But
that's coming up.
But I
thought he would have gone in if he didn't want to play. Say I'm not ready, or I tweak my hamstring, or something like that. But collecting that, as you said, that $852,000 a week. I'm shocked.
I just got this belief, especially in football, you got a limited amount of time to play the game at a high level, and maybe at the end you can get a few extra years, but it's going to be a minimum wage. It's going to be a lot less money. And I understand he's got this big time, and he got hit with the tag on a team that just got an old-fashioned way of doing things. He's got to be frustrated watching some of these other running backs get paid that we've seen recently get money. And I get the frustration, but, man, I look at this, the offensive line coming out against them. The whole fan base is turned on Le'Veon Bell. Their whole Steeler fan base is really down on him. And now Antonio Brown, after they lose their last game, goes 9 catches, 67 yards, and was upset on the side, which I don't really read into much, except you know the camera's going to catch it, Dave, now. They're going to catch anything that goes on the sideline where there's frustration. There's cameras. They're going to be on the sideline to keep an eye on certain players. I thought the only Bush League thing that Antonio Brown did was not show up on Monday. All you got to do is make a call and you cannot show up. All you had to do is say, Mike, I got a little problem to take care of. You think Mike Tomlin's going to say, Antonio, don't worry? Instead, you have Drew Rosenhaus call your agent?
And the whole thing, you know how that looks. I think he has to show up, Joe. I think he's got, after what happened and that tape of him on the sidelines been played nationally over and over, yelling at us, didn't bother me at all. But you know it's being a talking point. You just got to show up to practice the next day. You got to show your face. You got to now it's really blown up that he misses practice too. Yeah. That he's upset in that way. The fact that he went off on the sideline, to me it wasn't even that big of a yelling. It was just no. It was I'm fine with that. Le'Veon Bell though, you're Sunday night. You're out at midnight in clubs. That tells me you're not at all interested in football, right?
You don't think the Steelers see that every time? Like they're losing and. He's out in a club and then getting up early out on the wave runners and having a good time out on the
ocean.
You
are not interested in football at all when you're out partying and vacationing at this time of year, right?
Yeah, you're losing money instead of making money with the amount of time you have to do it. But maybe he and his agent know something the rest of us don't know. Maybe there is a big deal with somebody getting ready to take place and maybe somebody trades for him and gives him money.
Maybe the Steelers are just falling apart. And that, to me, is – I can't even believe I'm saying that because when you went through the blue-chip franchises of the last several decades, the Steelers were one of those teams you mentioned.
Well, they got a hell of a team, right? I mean, the Steelers
– They got an old quarterback who said a year ago he was ready to retire, and then he got upset when they drafted a quarterback.
Now he wants to play forever.
Got the offensive lineman calling out the running back for contract. I've never heard of – team players taking management side on contract.
You don't
issues.
Get that very often. All the other stuff, and of course Antonio Brown has been targeted more than any player in the NFL. But he says it's not the targets, man. It's where you're throwing the ball that's pissing me off, man. So anyway, they got all that going on in Pittsburgh as they're off to they got one tie and one loss so far.
Tie against the Brownies.
They're lucky.
There's some good matchups this week, Joe. The Browns play the Jets on Thursday night. Now, it's Thursday night. And
tomorrow night, yeah.
But I'm actually interested. A game that at the start of the year I said no interest at all. Because of Hard Knocks, I'm fascinated by how the Browns are going to implode. Because they're just not a well-run team.
But why have the Browns become one of the teams everybody's like – They've become like a really good team. Like everybody's watching them. I guess maybe I don't think it's a Hard Knocks because Hard Knocks can't be that strong. But yeah, people are looking at Cleveland.
That's the only
time
I'm interested in. I do think it's Hard Knocks because it was such a interesting Hard Knocks. And usually I could care less about Hard Knocks. This is probably the first time since the Dolphins were on it and you saw
that was dysfunctional.
What a mess that was. This is the first time I could say, wow, this is a mess in Cleveland. And so I want to watch it go off the rails.
I thought the Dolphins on Hard Knocks, that was Ryan Tannehill's rookie year, if I'm not mistaken.
Joe Philbin's first year.
Joe Philbin, Jeff Ireland, was one of the most dysfunctional shows I've ever seen. The Dolphins did not look prepared. The Ocho Cinco thing, watching Joe Philbin handle thing.
There were a million things.
Joe just, and I like Joe. Joe was a nice guy, but he was just way out of his league. His communication skills were really crappy. It was just...
If it that had been Joe Philbin's third year, I would have said, okay, he's been being set up to be fired. And he's showing everybody... The Dolphins are showing... Somebody in the Dolphins is showing everybody that Joe Philbin doesn't know what he's doing. It was his first year, though. This was his introduction. And you're like, and oh, he doesn't know what he's doing.
Jeff Ireland looked bad. Looked real bad, too.
We saw the precursor to Vontae Davis, though, him quitting at the Bills on halftime. He was immature, but he shouldn't have been put in that light of you should not be on national TV being shown what you look like when you get the news you're traded.
Yeah.
That's unprofessional of the organization.
My grandma is now, it's one of the lines that everybody uses, and it just looks bad. And he's talking to Peter King about we got to find receivers. We got a bunch of fours, fives, and sixes. We got to find 1-2s and threes. And I'm thinking, Jeff, why are you doing it? You're the one who should know, right? Don't teams know when they go to camp, like, or get ready to start camp, that we got to get our 1-2s and threes ready to go? Like,
we got fours, fives, and sixes.
Right.
What we need are threes, twos, and ones.
Man.
And I got to find out, we have to find out who those threes, twos, and ones are if we have any of those guys.
If we have any of those guys?
It was just confirming.
Like, Jeff, like, I don't think when he said it, he realized, like, ooh, that kind of made me look bad, doesn't it?
The bizarre thing is the teams have the right to cut out whatever they want to cut out.
They do, which people don't realize.
Which is the amazing thing to me of the Browns, too. Some of the stuff that they allowed, okay, somebody's setting Hugh Jackson up to get fired. That they allowed some of that stuff where Hugh Jackson really looks like he doesn't know what he's doing.
Well, you know, he said, how about when he sits and he meets with Dez Bryant. So Dez leaves and he goes, hey, big fella's back. Now, of course, Josh Gordon, he was talking about coming back, and now Josh Gordon's gone. And he's talking to him, explaining everything to him. Then he doesn't offer a contract to him. Goes, hey, you know, we got to get this thing flipped around. Dez went. No crap. You won one game in 2 years.
How about this, Joe? You have a guy like Dez Bryant coming into your facility, and you allow cameras to follow him, shaking hands with everybody in the... No. You're going to come to me as the GM or the coach, and I'm going to tell you how things are going to run here. Instead, they give him like carte blanche, like he's a celebrity kind of. It was very weird. A lot of things about that.
Yeah.
So I'm interested in the Browns, Jets. Then we were talking about the Steelers. You got the Steelers playing the Bucks with...
Jets can win. I still think Browns going to win some game. I don't think they're going to be a 2 or 3 or 4 win team.
The one thing they really did really well was, and I still don't understand why the Bills traded to Rod Taylor. And I don't understand why the Browns got him either from that standpoint, if you got Baker Mayfield or you have the number one pick of the draft. I don't get it from either side, but the Browns do have two quarterbacks that can win games.
Yeah. No, and they got to play Baker Mayfield pretty soon, don't they?
Absolutely. You know,
Baker Mayfield may be the last first-round pick.
Very weird. Isn't it weird?
Because everybody else has got teams. They've just – Buffalo said, all right, Allen's going to start for us. Rosen's got to be starting pretty soon out in Arizona.
Because Bradford's about done, isn't he?
He got shut out.
I tell you what, and I think after watching Sam Darnold, he's going to be a concern of the Dolphins for the next decade.
He looks like he's got the goods.
Yes, as long as he can stay away from some dumb interceptions.
We went down early on the field, you know, and they're like, I've been dying. I always like to see the new quarterback's throw just to see. And it looks different than it does on TV. And I was like, okay. So about 6 throws and went, okay. This New York thing's not too big for him. Just the way he carries himself and stuff. Now, listen, he made some bad throws.
He made some rookie throws. Now, if he makes them in the third year, then okay.
Yeah,
you could see the arm strength when you're down there watching him make the throws.
Pretty damn good. Hey, Houston Nutt's going to join us next. CBS Sports College Football Analyst in just a few minutes. So stay with us. We'll be back and talk some college football right after this. But first,
Radio.com.
All right, welcome back. As we're waiting, Houston Nutt's running a few minutes late here. and we will have him on. This always happens when you do a bunch of radio stations. You have one guy keeps him a little bit longer, the next guy keeps him. By the time they get to you, they're and
when you're at the end of the hour,
and
right?
The poor CBS person is going, "Hey, we're so sorry. The damn last station, we tried to get them to wrap it up." And you know, I do the same thing. Like, you keep going if you got stuff, and you go, and as long as he's answering it and going, "Hey, guys, I got to get going," which you never want, then it looks bad and for everybody. So they just keep going.
And it's always interesting to see how the sausage is made behind in front of the microphone.
There's two things. I give you the worst one. The worst one is when somebody says, "Hey, you get such and such." You go, "Oh, great!" But they're coming on with their wife or their doctor because they want to. Then you got to go. I'm out. I've just learned.
Don't let them plug their product. You don't. That's
You do it, but it's just always. I just feel like I'm doing a big promo for them. I get nothing. Like Tony Dungy was on with his wife, who's got a book for kids, and it was just everybody wants Tony. Everybody wants Tony for 15 minutes. But you got, I like to talk about my wife's book and she's going on. And
what's the second one, Joe? What's the second? There were two things about how the sausage is made.
Well, that one and then the other one is just where they're doing a whole bunch of them. And you know they're on all day. You get one late. Guy's been answering the same questions. You know, it was his chance. It was his turn to do it. And you know he's been loaded up on radio stations all morning.
Here's my thing about talk radio as a old-time columnist is if now I'm getting older, if I want to know what's going to go wrong with me, I listen to the ads here between everything that can go wrong with your body is advertised on here because they're coming after me. I get that. Everything, prostate, hair,
Surgeries.
It's just
the
amazing.
Little blue pill, anything to help you have better sex as you get older and your body
when
slows down.
When you're in your 20s and you want to know what's going to go wrong or what potentially could go wrong with you, just listen to the advertisers here. They're coming after you.
No question. They look at the average age of the men and women that listen to, mostly men, that listen to you, and that's where they go from there. So anyway, we're waiting on Houston Nutt right now, CBS Sports College football analyst, to join us here. And if not, we'll catch him in the 9 o'clock hour for sure. But we've got so much stuff going on. The Deion Waiters thing surprised you a little bit yesterday?
Yeah, because I thought, like most everybody else, that he last season, he cut short to get the ankle surgery. There's plenty of time for him to get healthy for this year. And then it kept going on and on and on. And here we are in September, and word is he's not going to be ready for camp, probably not ready for the season.
Jeez.
And we're talking, they signed him a 4-year deal. We're going into year two.
Yeah.
And nothing.
It's kind of hard to get off to a good start because he's got to get his conditioning back. So he can get his shot back. It's one thing. I'm sure he's just shooting, standing still. But conditioning and shooting when you're gassed a little bit and you got to get your cardio rolling and intaking shots. And we've been teased on how good he is because when he was healthy, he had some big shots. When this thing turned it around in the second half, he was a big part of it, right? He started knocking down shots and everything else. So, yeah, it's a little bit of blow. By the way, you know what we haven't talked about for basketball with getting ready to start up? Hassan Whiteside.
Going back to that, I agree. Now,
I guess that's good. He hasn't done anything stupid on social media like he usually does.
He must be working, right, Joe?
He's working.
And we're going to hear how it's
like
going to work
up
again
and play,
this year.
And he's on. Like, okay, I can do that, and I will do it. Anyway, we're going to try to get Houston Nutt at 9 o'clock, okay? That'll be good. We'll have him come up, and Ira will join us, and we'll talk more about Hassan Whiteside. And
to me, the only way the Heat really can get better this year
is him.
Is him. That's it.
Real
quick, they get him back to playing how he did when he first appeared here, the first year, really, with the Heat, as opposed to, and I'm mystified by the last year, of what happened to him.
So is he mature enough, I guess, is the question, to just overturn things, not let things bother him, whether he's getting the ball or not?
No.
If he gets pulled out of a game?
No.
No.
No, you know, I don't think he's going to change. The question is, does the situation change around him? You know, and you're right. I guess you're right. Maybe you can grow up some and adapt to what's going on in the NBA around them.
Would you love to know behind the scenes if the team did try to ship him out, though? Would you ever like to know, like, did they really try?
Oh, absolutely. I'm a reporter. And I'm sure they, as they did probably with several guys, just test the market, see what's out there.
Are
you surprised
situation.
He's back, Joe? Are you surprised that they didn't?
No, I thought he'd be hard to move, to be really honest, unless you were getting somebody else's junk. So I wasn't, and they still see him. You know, he's going to get double-digit rebound. You know, we kind of lose it because we get on him. He's a double-double every night. I know it's $20 million plus now, but he's a double-double every night, and he's going to block shots when he's motivated.
The only, and I agree with you, the first year and a half, he was unbelievable to watch to me.
He can do 14-12 out of shape.
But he doesn't play the fourth quarter. He doesn't close out games. He doesn't do what a max, and I'm not saying he can't do it. I'm just saying, look.
What do I tell you right now? He gives you 14-12 this year.
Is he going to play at the end of games? See, to me, that's more than the numbers and the points. If he plays the end of games, that's Eric Spoelstra saying he can help us win games. He can be a contributing factor in the final minutes, which is when, let's face it, every NBA game on some level is decided in the final, you know, 5 minutes or so. He can help us win games there. And if he's not on the court there, that tells you.
Yeah. You think Dwayne's role's the same, right? As last year, 20 minutes.
Now, he might start opening night because Waiters isn't. But.
And it's good for business, opening night, to have him introduced with that starting lineup. But you think it's still last 5 or 6 minutes roughly of the game, Dwayne's back out there automatically, or that's not an automatic?
I'm curious about that because, again, they got a lot of guys who can play similar roles and overlapping talents. And how Spoelstra, to me, the hard part of this team is how, if I'm Eric Spoelstra, how can I manage minutes and keep everybody happy and motivated through a long season? And that'd be really challenging for Spoelstra to do that.
Well, listen, we're going to go to break here. We're going to have Houston Nutt join us and Ira Winderman in the 9 o'clock hour. We'll also check in on the text machine. Hey, DQ, you up for the text machine a little bit today on the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota? Text line at 560-22-56022. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back in a moment.
Radio.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.